And I'm Bill Radke. This is KUOW's The Record. Thank you for tuning in. As you just heard a moment ago, Seattle and state officials were clearing out that homeless encampment under I-5 known as the Jungle yesterday when a Seattle police officer shot and killed a man there who was involved in a knife fight. The clear out of the Jungle was suspended. It has now resumed. We'll tell you more about the people involved in that shooting as we learn more. But this is part of a larger question hanging over Seattle. What to do about homelessness? The latest proposal would increase the amount of time people are allowed to camp on public lands. Council member Tim Burgess thinks this is a mistake. I talked to him and a supporter, Councilmember Mike O'Brien, who says it's a disgrace to our city that anyone is sleeping outside.
In a city like Seattle that can create wealth like we do, that we have not figured out a way to shelter everyone in our community is a failure on all of us, and we have to be working swiftly on solutions to get everyone into housing. At the same time, today there are 3,000 people that have no shelter, and tonight they're going to sleep somewhere in our city. And our current policy that doesn't allow camping anywhere, yet doesn't enforce it on any sort of systemic basis, is failing everyone. It's failing the neighborhoods who say, people should not be on my play field. When they get swept, they come back. It's failing the folks that are homeless, who are continually being displaced. And it's failing us as taxpayers because we're wasting city resources on a program that doesn't work at all, and we can do better programs.
So this is a big picture. In the picture of camping and permissiveness, what's your vision for where people can camp and for how long?
What my proposal would say, and this is something we've been working on and refining with a number of advocates in the community from various aspects, would say, look, we have to prioritize the public space that is least desirable. So the places that are unsafe or unsuitable. So that would be play fields, parks, play areas, active spaces in parks, sidewalks, school grounds. These are places that we would explicitly say no one should be camping here. And if someone shows up at a place like that, we can move them immediately if they're present. If there's no one there, we could move their goods off to the side and wait 24 hours to confiscate them so that whoever needs to use that place can use it. But what we have to recognize is they have to have somewhere to go. And our current policy doesn't do that.
So which public spaces are left after play fields and schools, et cetera?
That's the challenge. So it would need to be unactivated park spaces. So right now, we are sweeping people out of what's called the Jungle, under I-5, which is state property, but the green belt above that. There are people that have camped there for a long time, and when we flush those folks out and they show up at University Playfield a few blocks from here, that makes everyone's situation worse. Instead, we need to prioritize and say people should not be camping at University Playfield, but the green belt above I-5 for now may be acceptable until we find permanent solutions.
Okay, Councilmember Tim Burgess, why shouldn't Seattle let people camp in unactivated green belts and planting strips until there are adequate places for them to go?
So I agree with Mike that no one should be sleeping outside, which is why I'm so perplexed about this ordinance, because it in effect creates the right to camp on public property in the city, and it incentivizes that. And I think that's exactly the opposite approach. It doesn't solve homelessness. It won't move one person from outside into safe shelter or a home. It doesn't address alcohol or chemical dependency. It doesn't address mental illness or any of that. And I think there's just a much better solution that would actually address the core problem rather than creating this right to camp in some public properties around the city.
What is your solution regarding camping?
I don't think we should create the right to camp in our city.
Anywhere. Public space.
Public space, yes, correct. So I would do four things. I would focus on the philosophy of housing first, which actually started in Seattle a couple of decades ago, but has not really been taken to scale. So I would really keenly focus on that philosophy. I would increase the number of people who are doing outreach, and I would change the focus of our street outreach so that it is primarily focused on moving people from outside to inside shelter. I would expand our emergency shelter options. We currently operate 3 authorized encampments in the city, Ballard, Inner Bay, and Othello in southeast Seattle. Those are well managed and are working well. I think it's better to have people in those kind of encampments that are organized and well managed than having them sleeping ad hoc around the city. And finally, I would expedite the mayor's recommendations that are included in the Pathways Home recommendations on how we clear out the backlog in our emergency shelter system. We have people living for months and years in our emergency shelters, and we should address those needs.
Are you saying that today we do have adequate places for campers to go right now, and right now there should be no place in the city where we let them camp? Or are you saying, yeah, off in the future, there's a lot of agreement. We're proposing lots of things. What about today?
So we're going to open a navigation center in Seattle by the end of the year that will provide 75 more emergency shelter beds. It's modeled after a very successful program in San Francisco. That'll bring us almost to 4,000 emergency shelter beds.
That's enough?
Our consultants say that is enough. They have said that by the end of next year, everyone who is unsheltered can be in shelter. That's a bold claim on their part, but I think it's a worthy goal to be working toward and working toward urgently, as opposed to the legislation that has been suggested, which would allow people to camp in our parks, the unimproved areas of our parks, and on sidewalks all over the city.
But that could be changed, right? Councilmember O'Brien is saying he doesn't support that either. Are there enough votes on the council that might stay in the law that people can camp in the end zone of a park while a league game is going on?
I don't think any of my colleagues are saying that people should be able to camp in the end zone of a football field.
Well, that was a famous example.
It was a very famous example, and it illustrates a core problem we have in the city. That camper was there for days before the city would finally act. And I drove by 3rd and Denny today, right on the south side of Seattle Center. There's a little pocket park there, a triangle. I counted 9 tents and about 6 people there. The sidewalks are all blocked. That park cannot be used by anybody else. City government has, because of the conflict and the confusion around this issue of homelessness, we've become paralyzed. So even in those areas where I think we would all agree people should not be camping, we fail to act. And this ordinance perpetuates that confusion, perpetuates that conflict, just like the city of Portland experienced, which was a disaster in Portland.
Councilmember O'Brien, then, what could the city do to not allow camping in the parks, in the places where you're both agreeing camping shouldn't happen?
There's a lot we can do. And I want to say that the long-term solutions that Tim brought up, I agree with. I don't think there's any disagreement we should work on that. But 75 beds by the end of the year, when I have 3,000 people outdoors tonight, and the end of next year maybe having enough room for everybody, doesn't solve today's problem. And the problem of someone camping in the end zone is a problem under today's rules and regulations. Those rules are broken. The easiest thing for me to do politically, to be clear, is to simply talk about long-term solutions that we all agree on and say no one should be sleeping outdoors, but not offer an improvement for today. What I propose, the draft that I posted with the op-ed that ran in the Times on Tuesday, talks specifically about if someone's camped in a place that is unsuitable, so an end zone, a play field, a dugout, a sidewalk, this wouldn't be allowed in sidewalks throughout the city. You could remove that person immediately if they're present. You have to go through the protocols. You have to offer them shelter if it's available. You have to facilitate their move to a place that they will not be evicted from. So we have to identify places that they can be. Because simply chasing folks around is a waste of our money, and pretending that somehow the existing system is working it's just so disingenuous with the public. We have to do something different today. The goal, of course, is that no one is sleeping outdoors, and we need to work swiftly to that, but we can't perpetuate the system that's happening today.
Well, let's talk about the rights of people without shelter and the people with shelter. Someone emailed the city council saying that if the city's more permissive toward campers, quote, you will create greater distrust and spite toward the homeless. And Exhibit B, I believe this is one of your constituents, Councilmember O'Brien, emailed saying you will, quote, will only attract more criminals, junkies, and alcoholics. They'll be camping in front of houses with taxpaying citizens, lots of whom have children. We will be scared to walk into our front yards and enjoy our homes. Please don't turn every neighborhood and park of our city into a urine and excrement-filled magnet for delinquents. Now, you've already said that that's not your intention. But are you concerned about this perception that, wait a minute, who has a right to live here without trash and needles and petty crime, et cetera?
We all have a right to live here, housed and unhoused. We all have a right to public safety. We all have a right to clean city. that email perpetuates a myth that is not fair. There are 3,000 people sleeping outside tonight in our city, and each one of those folks has a unique story as to why they're there. There's the gentleman who had back surgery and got addicted to opiate painkillers, and when his doctor cut him off, he went to heroin. There's the woman who's fleeing domestic violence, and the VV shelters are all full, and so she's hiding in the woods in our city, living in fear that her perpetrator is going to find her. There's the LGBT youth that whose family has rejected her sexual orientation, and so she's come to the city as a place of refuge. There's thousands of other stories like that, and we need to find space for them. We need to find space indoors for them, but in the meantime, let's find a space where they can be outdoors and not disturbing folks. That, you know, folks are saying, Mike, I'm frustrated that people are camping in my playground and you can't move them for 3 days. I understand that. That is today's existing policy that's broken. My proposal would say, look, people cannot camp there. We have agreement that you could remove them immediately by moving them to a space that is more suitable. Now, I don't want to pretend that this legislation fixes everything, because there's a lot of folks that say there are zero suitable places in our city and they should just be moved out of our city completely. But we're not going to do that. And so we have to prioritize. What are the places folks shouldn't be, and what are the places folks should be allowed until we find solutions?
Councilmember Burgess, you're hearing his take on what is realistic and what is compassionate. What is your vision?
So I agree with much of what Mike said, and I cringe when we hear emails like the one you read. Every one of these persons has dignity and value, and they need to be treated fairly and compassionately. I have no problem with that at all. But parks and sidewalks are held in public trust. And to say that we are going to allow the right to camp in those areas violates that public trust in my mind.
But what about the green belts, the unactivated spaces, as Councilmember O'Brien?
Where are those?
Where are they?
I mean, right now, in Mike's alternative legislation, people will be able to camp in Magnuson Park and Woodland Park and Golden Gardens Park. They all have unimproved areas. And so once we start down that path and the city officially sanctions that kind of activity, we will have Portland's experience, which did exactly the same thing and was a disaster.
Now, what about the Portland experience? People didn't get the message, and Portland was overrun. They pulled the plug and said this was a failure to allow more camping.
So Portland did a different strategy. We're learning from that. Portland did not restrict any area. They said folks can camp anywhere, but they restricted the time of day.
That's
not
correct.
Camp overnight.
Correct. Okay. They had geographic restrictions and time of day restrictions,
and so
just like this ordinance says.
It was supposed to be camp for the night and move on.
Exactly, and they weren't moving on. But instead, because the challenge of saying we're going to set up a tent and move you in and out, just like our current shelter system, in and out every day, doesn't work for too many folks. They need a stable place to be, even if it's in the woods. And I'd ask, you know, Tim, I'd ask you, I would love to take all park space and all public space off limits, but where are those 3,000 people going to be? And if you have a space for 3,000 people to reasonably live in our city tonight, I am happy to remove the places that aren't suitable and make that. But I'm not going to take all of the land off and say, I don't know, because that's the system today. And they're just going to go to the places that are unsuitable and unsafe.
So there's another big elephant in the room that we need to talk about, and that is many of these individuals, when they are offered services and offered shelter, decline to accept those. We've seen that at the jungle. I mean, many people accepted, many people turned down the services. There were 42, I think, that were left. And yesterday, the city had to remove those individuals.
There's no argument about that, right?
No, there is an argument.
Okay. Sorry. Well, let Tim Burgess finish it.
So, you know, this ordinance, as it is written, including Mike's substitute version, basically says that an individual has a right to camp in these public areas indefinitely. Now, they may have to move after 30 days, but they can move 100 feet away and that process starts over again. And I just think that's a fundamental mistake in our city to allow people to camp outdoors when it does not solve homelessness.
So, and first to be clear, you say it basically says that. It actually doesn't say that. What it does say is it prioritizes the places where we will remove folks. It doesn't say you have a legal right to camp anywhere, but it states a city policy that we will not remove folks from certain spaces until we have adequate housing. And this
which creates a permanent right of camping in the city.
Doesn't create a permanent right. I mean, that's what we have right now. We have it's not allowed to camp anywhere in parks, but we don't remove them until we randomly show up when someone's not there and confiscate their belongings. That's not working. The other idea that folks are unwilling to accept services, again, that perpetrates this myth that there's these 3,000 people out there that really want to camp outdoors because they think this is a great living space. That is not true. There are individuals with mental health crisis that when I walk up to them who they've never met before, representing a system that has failed them all their life, and say, I got a piece of housing. Would you like to come into it? Yeah, they're going to say no until I can build some trust. And sometimes that may take months to do. There are also individuals that say, you offer me a shelter bed that's going to kick me out at 6 a.m. I got 3 bags full of my personal belongings. What am I going to do with that? I am better off in a tent in the woods where I can at least leave my belongings while I go to work, while I go get services. The shelter doesn't work for me. So we got to stop perpetuating this myth that these 3,000 people out there are simply refusing services. They're not making homelessness a choice. It's a lack of good choices for them that leads them to this, and we have to give them better choices to solve the problem.
Until we continue this discussion, I must give the last word to Councilmember Burgess.
So our obligation in city government is to balance our compassionate response and our public health and safety obligations we have as city government. This proposal does not do that. And so I'm advocating, and I think the people of Seattle are advocating for a balanced approach that is both compassionate and protects our public access to parks and sidewalks and our safety and health obligations.
Seattle City Council members Tim Burgess and Mike O'Brien discussing this controversial idea in some camps of letting people camp possibly for as much as 30 days in some public spaces until they have adequate options, depending on how you define adequate. The City Council was supposed to vote on this Friday, this coming Friday. Well, today that vote has been postponed. You have a voice in this. If you're in Seattle, how do you feel? What do you want your government to do about letting people camp in public places? If you're outside Seattle, how's your community handling homelessness? Tell us what you have learned. Who should we talk to? Send your story to record@kuow.org.